You're listening to Adventures in Autism. Each episode, we will bring you the latest in news regarding autism, as well as our personal story and the topic of the week. We are not medical professionals, and none of the information that we give should be taken as such. Instead, we are parents of a severely autistic child. We are here to share our lives and our personal experiences with you. If you would like to know more about our personal story or access any of our other podcasts, you may do so through openeyesnetwork.com. If you would like to share your personal story with us, you may send an email to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com or access our Facebook fan page at Open Eyes Network, as well as our Twitter feed at Open Eyes Network. Thanks for listening. Well, hello there, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Adventures in Autism. It's the first week of September, and my name is Ira Robinson.
And this is Jolene Robinson.
And hopefully you guys will get a lot out of the episode that we're bringing you today. It's kind of another one that's relating a little bit, I think, to the back to school, beginnings of school kind of thing, because this tends to crop up a lot when kids are just going back to school. And that is the subject of glasses, and especially in regards to having a kiddo with autism and what to do about glasses for them. And it can definitely be a mess.
Yes.
To say the least. So hopefully you guys will get a lot out of today's episode. And, you know, we offer to people to send in their personal stories, their personal things that they want to talk about on the show. And we actually had someone send us something this week. And, or well, you know, kind of gave us the information this week, and we wanted to bring the information to you guys. They had asked us to speak about it on the show and kind of give our thoughts in regards to this. So this is from Kim, who is a real frequent flyer in the Late Night in the Midlands chat room over at LNMRadioNetwork.com. And one night when we were in there, getting ready to listen to another show that's broadcasting there, Kim came in and she asked if she could call and talk to us because she had just gotten home and something was really, really on her mind. Now, Kim has a daughter who is 14 years old. Her name is Kayla. And Kayla is both autistic, severely autistic, and has Down syndrome. And so she has a lot of problems. She is very nonverbal. She has a lot of meltdown issues and that kind of thing. And so Kim wanted to tell us what happened to her on a visit to the doctor's office. So here's a little bit of the story. Again, Kayla is 14 years old and she stands 3 feet 6 inches. And weighs 52 pounds. This is a small girl, you know, very, very teeny. And when Kim was at the doctor's office with her, she was starting to have a meltdown. Kayla was, not Kim, but Kayla was having a meltdown. And in the process of everything occurring, basically the doctor finally walked into the room, and the first thing that he said was, you know, if you give her a smack, she'll stop doing that. So then a little bit later, as he was giving an exam, if I remember correctly, Kayla ended up giving him a pat on the butt, basically. And the doctor, I mean, completely freaked out over it and said, you know, if she does this again, then we're going to take action. And I mean, just all kinds of stuff was going on with this doctor's visit. Now, I do not remember if Kim mentioned, and I don't remember if I asked if this was a doctor that she was familiar with. Do you remember?
From what I remember, she was seeing that doctor.
This was the first time?
Yeah, because it was a procedure. Like, they were getting ready to do some sort of testing. And right. This doctor was closer than the one they'd been going to.
Okay, I was thinking that she had never seen this one before. So I thought I was thinking correctly on that. So.
Yeah, if I remember right, she said it was the first and, well, last time she's seen that doctor.
You're right. Yep, that's what it was. It was for a special procedure that she was needing to have done. And so she was going there for the pre-exam or the...
the pre-examination.
Getting it all set up for this procedure. So my thoughts in regards to this is Kim, you have much more patience than I do and a better soul than I do, because that doctor would not have been walking out of that office if he had talked to my kiddo in that kind of way. This reminds me a lot of what occurred with Seth when he was when we pulled him out of school and started homeschooling. Hearing the aide over the phone basically yelling at Seth, you know, you tell your mother what you did, you tell her what you did right now, and so on and so forth. And it's like, you know, instantly defensive with any kid, but when it comes to a kid who is literally defenseless, like somebody that has severe autism as well as Down syndrome on top of that. You know, Kim, I know what kind of issues you have as far as with Kayla is concerned, and you've already got a lot of weight on your shoulders with her, let alone having a doctor act in this way. That is, it's unconscionable. It really is.
Yeah, it's definitely not right at all. I mean, that's not... You would think a doctor would be the most understanding person, but of course that's not going to be the case.
Yeah, exactly. And from what I gather, I mean, this is not the, he's not inexperienced with dealing with kids that have autism or Downs or anything like that. So, you know, where he thinks that if a kid is having a meltdown, that giving them a smack is going to improve that situation any... I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
I really don't. I mean, I know how it is with Seth, for instance, when he starts having a meltdown, if we were to act or react in that kind of way, it's just going to exacerbate the situation like crazy.
Oh, so, yeah.
You know, it to have a doctor recommend that kind of thing. When she told me this story, I was floored. I couldn't believe that it was a doctor that said that. And, you know, my question is, where were the nurses? What were they doing? What were they saying? You know, did they argue that fact at all? Or, you know, did they just go right along with it? And unfortunately she didn't say either way as far as that was concerned, but, you know, what a horrible situation to find yourself in as a parent.
Yeah.
So I definitely feel for you out there, Kim. Luckily, we haven't had to deal with much of that kind of situation. The doctors that we've had Seth go to have all been very understanding of his issues. And now we are lucky, though, that he has not actually had any kind of real meltdowns while at a doctor's office. So, I mean,
he's usually pretty good with the doctors.
He's surprisingly decent when it comes to a doctor's office or a doctor's visit.
Yeah. Well, like the last time it was time for him to get shots, he himself was like, you know, mommy, it's been a while since I've had shots. And, well, you are due for shots. He's like, oh, cool. When are we getting the appointment set up? Well, I guess I could do it now since you're all whipped, roaring, ready for it, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. So He's pretty easygoing when it comes to doctor's visits. Now, there are other places that he's had meltdowns at, besides the doctors, but
restaurants. That's
yeah,
sort of
like
thing.
Restaurants and that kind of thing. But you know, by and large, we've always had really good luck in dealing with people that are around when he goes through that kind of a situation. We've not really been quote unquote judged too much or given that kind of weird, dumb advice, you know, especially, like I said, from a doctor, that's just unconscionable to me that a doctor would recommend that kind of thing for somebody that has Downs as well as autism. It's just, that is just so far beyond.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, when she told me that, I definitely had to bring it to the show. And you know, I would say when it comes to that kind of a situation, like I said, you are much more patient than me. That doctor would not have been walking out of that exam room, and they would have been calling the cops on me for sure. So yeah, not a good situation, not at all. So let's get to the topic tonight of glasses. What a fun situation. What a fun type of thing.
Now, just so everyone knows, this is for if they wear glasses. This is not really going to focus on anything other. Like, so if your autistic child has a habit of taking, like, the siblings' glasses off, that's not what the show's going to be about. Right. Just so you know. So
this would be in specific of them needing glasses, or wearing glasses and what to do about the situation, and kind of our take on advice in regards to that, because we've had
Seth has a lot of experience
with it. Yeah, Seth has actually worn glasses since he was about 2 years old. He was about 2.5, actually. It was just not too long before the autism kicked in with him that we got his first pair of glasses. So he's kind of always had them, and he's always dealt with the fact that he has to wear them, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Yeah, he's had his highs, he's had his lows with having to wear them. But
oh, yeah, most definitely. and we're not going to get into as well the subject, I think, of contact lenses.
No, because we definitely
don't really recommend having contact lenses in kids to begin with. But then, you know, ones that have autism,
that's just asking too much. I don't see that making much sense.
But anyway, so let's go ahead and get into it. Why don't you get us started with the topic?
Okay, so when it comes to glasses, for example, if it's their first time getting glasses, like they're at the school and they do the little testing at the school and they say your child needs to go see about getting glasses, then after you get the appointment for the glasses, explain to your child that they got an appointment and constantly remind them of it. Like, even right now, our kids, they can't get glasses again until towards the end of October. So they both know about it. And I keep reminding them, you know, towards the end of October is when I can call and make an appointment. That way they know and aren't, you know, oh my gosh, glasses, you know. And then, especially too, if it's the first time they're getting glasses, explain to them what glasses are and what they are used for. Just kind of try your best to explain to them what they are. If someone else in your household wears glasses, if you think they can be trusted, you can have them kind of take a look at them. Don't have them put them on, but have them kind of take a look at them. If you want to see how they will react to wearing glasses, you can go out and buy those, like, you know, cheap sunglasses. And have them put those on. Now, obviously,
there's also the reading glasses. You can get the ones that are really, really mild as far as the magnification and that kind of thing goes. You can get it like where it's just even barely. It's not even much more than glass, you know.
Yeah.
So
and you can have them wear those. Now, obviously, it's not going to fit comfortably because they are not fitted for the face, the your child's specific face. But you can still get an idea, you know, of how they're going to react to them. So when they put them on, you know, they might start tugging on their ears and be uncomfortable with the feeling on their ears, or they might just be like, oh, it's weird on my nose, which then you can take in consideration, okay, are they going to be okay with glasses that have nose pads, or would they be better off with just the plastic frames that don't have nose pads? And, you know, there's a lot to take in. There's a lot to take into consideration when it comes to picking out glasses, as well as how they're going to react to the glasses. So
yeah, and as far as the appointment thing goes as well, let me make sure to iterate why we say that it's important to explain ahead of time what's coming up. I mean, the way that we look at things and the way that we do things with Seth is we have to let him know, like, way ahead of time as much as possible that something is coming up. Otherwise, when it comes up, he is actually going to be very prone to a meltdown if he was not made aware, and very aware specifically of what is coming up. So, like, if we have an appointment next week, we'll start talking about it like today about this appointment coming up. Here's the day that it is. Here's the time that it is. It's going to be at X place here. Mm-hmm. You can even see it on a map. This is where it is.
At least a week ahead. But if you know, if you know sooner than that, start explaining as soon as you can.
Yeah.
I mean, one good thing to have is a calendar for your child. Seth has a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle calendar in his room, and so I tell him the date of something, and then he'll flip to the date, and, oh, that's a Thursday. And
and usually he'll mark it himself on his calendar to make sure that he remembers that it's coming up. So he's very meticulous when it comes to his calendar. He likes to have everything scheduled out just so.
Yep. And that's even, you know, we even tell him of appointments that even don't concern him. For example, last week, Ira had two different, I'm sorry, Ira had one, Ira had a dentist appointment, and we, again, told Seth about it as soon as we could, and even though it doesn't concern Seth, it's the fact that Mommy and Daddy are going to be gone for a while, and he's going to be home alone with Grandma and Sissy, so that's the main difference, is he needs to be let aware that way when he comes out, even though we just said goodbye to him, he doesn't go, wait a minute, where did they go?
Yeah, because he does that. I mean, he'll be like, okay, bye, Mommy, bye, Daddy. And then like 5 minutes later, where did they go?
Yeah, where did they go?
They didn't even say goodbye to me. Sometimes they'll even say that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah, they didn't say goodbye. Yeah, they did. No, they did. I don't remember.
He does that when we go to...
It's that panicking thing.
When Jolene goes to sleep, she goes to sleep early in the evening because she works. She has to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go to work every day. So she usually goes to bed at 7, and she'll holler through his door, you know, night, Seth. And he'll say, night, Mommy. And then 5 minutes later, he'll come out. Where's Mommy? She's in bed. She didn't tell me goodnight.
Yeah, she didn't tell me. Yeah, it happens quite often. At least once a week, it tends to happen. I'll hear him come out. I didn't say goodnight to her yet. I'm like, well, come here and tell me goodnight then.
So, yeah, definitely. I don't know. Maybe your kids are that way. Maybe they're not, but that's how it is with ours. And we've known a few others that are kind of the same way, that they're very, very meticulous about their time and their schedule. And if things are out of place, even a little bit, they do have a tendency to like start to freak out. So it's just kind of our way to preemptively avoid a meltdown in regards to this kind of stuff. So,
yes. The next thing I have is explain ahead of time what kind of tests they're going to be having so they're not surprised. If anyone else in a household wears glasses, a good thing to do is to have them come along. Obviously, they're going to be kind of bored, but they can kind of see what's going to happen and get an idea of what's going to happen. Now, in Seth's case, he started having this when he was 2, so he's just kind of been bred to... He's kind of used to it by now.
He's very used to it,
but
yeah.
Had he been older and started it, yeah, we probably would have had him go to an eye doctor appointment for, like, probably Ira to get used to the idea of what the tests are going to be. Because it's kind of hard, you know, because depending on the level of comprehension your child has, explaining it won't do justice to actually seeing it. Especially to some eye doctors, not all, do the, what's it called, glaucoma test?
Right,
where they do the puff of air on the eyes.
The air burst in the eyeball, yeah.
Yeah. Now, we used to, just for an example, we used to always go to a specific eye doctor. But the eye doctor that specifically worked with Ira has left Fort Wayne and gone to a different office. And also in between time, we have moved. And so we don't live as close to that eye doctor as we do. And so we were like, well, we'll look into looking for a different eyeglass place. Well, we found a different eyeglass place, which we do like. But there's one unfortunate thing. They do the glaucoma test. Now, I'm used to it, but the kids have never had a glaucoma test. And when we had the kids go have their glaucoma, when we had the kids have their eye appointment, it was me and my mother-in-law came with me. And when, like, both Seth and Crystal had their eye appointment at the same time. So I took Crystal, and Seth wanted to go with Grandma. So Crystal went first, and when Crystal went in there, I saw the machine, and I thought, oh no, this is the glaucoma test, isn't it? And they did it, and I'm like, oh no, I wonder how Seth's going to react to it. But I wasn't able to get out of the room because Seth was already doing a different kind of testing. So, so long story short, he had a meltdown because that glaucoma test, he was not prepared ahead of time what it was. He thought it was just like one of the other tests where they just, you know, put your eye against it and there's a light and they do, you know, whatever to it. So right. That's what he was expecting it to be. And then all of a sudden, not only is there a puff of air, but that sound, which, you know, is a very frightening sound, especially if you're not used to it. And, yeah, so he had a meltdown, and they only got the one eye, so they ended up having to do something different for the other eye, and they barely made it through the rest of the eye appointment, so.
Yeah, because they didn't take the moment to explain what the test was going to be. I mean, they didn't really have,
Well, my mother-in-law said that she, you know, she was with him and she didn't even warn him, you know, okay, right. I'm about to do the puff of air or even, you know, make any consideration. Now, I'm sure she probably thought that he was used to this sort of thing, but as I just said, not everybody does the glaucoma test. The eye doctor we've gone to before never did it. I've gone to two other previous eye doctors and the one did and the other, again, didn't do the glaucoma test. So I don't know where...
And it's unfortunate, but now this is going to probably stick in his memory.
Yeah, now it's going to really bother him.
And every eye appointment from this point forward, he's going to be in terror because of this situation. So this is, again, kind of going into what we were describing earlier about making sure that you explain everything, like, as detailed as you can, just to be able to avoid this kind of surprise action taking place. You know, for Crystal, it wasn't so bad because, you know, for someone who is normal, it's not that bad to recover from, you know, the surprise or the shock. Mm-hmm. It's not that bad to recover from. But for some autistic kids like ours, for instance, and I know others as well, this kind of thing, it really does cause actually a trauma and they...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Seth
even if they don't remember it, even if they don't remember it later, they're going to still have this idea that, oh, something happened at the eye doctor and I don't want to go. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, when we were all done, Seth was still just shaking like mad. And whereas Crystal, when it happened to her, I wasn't positive if that was the glaucoma test or not. So I didn't say anything. But I knew, just like you had just said, that she would be able to recover quicker from the shock if it was or not. And when it happened, I was like, yep, it's glaucoma test. You know, I heard the sound. I'm like, yep, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And she just started laughing. She's like, what the heck just happened? And she just started laughing. And so I explained to her, this was the glaucoma test. I wasn't sure if you were going to have this or not. Otherwise, I would have warned you. She's like, oh, it's okay. And she was just laughing. And so then she did her other eye. She did it a lot quicker than I would have. And she got the other eye down and she was just laughing about it. And yeah, I mean, she took it very lightheartedly. If only.
Which is good, right? For Seth, I think that if you had been in the room with Seth instead of it being Grandma, it probably would not have been as traumatic because you would have noticed and you would have said something. So
yeah, I would have noticed, I would have said something, and I would have taken the situation differently.
Right.
Because, I mean, like I said, they didn't warn anything, so your mom immediately kind of got on the defensive, you know, oh my gosh, why didn't they say anything? Whereas I can understand why an eye doctor wouldn't say anything to a normal child if they've never had the glaucoma test, kind of the best thing to do is just kind of surprise them.
Not to warn them.
Yeah. I mean, that's what happened with me too. You don't warn them. Otherwise, they're just going to panic.
Right.
Otherwise, you know, once the first one's done, then they kind of get the idea. Okay. It's the sound. It's not really the puff of air. You know, for in my case, it's the sound that bothers me. Not the puff of air. It's the sound. The sound is what gets you, you know, it's just so loud and sudden.
That gunshot bang.
Yeah. So if I was there with him when it happened, I would have been able to make more lighthearted of the situation, made it not so traumatic. And
yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, we learn from our mistakes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, listen, Jalene, let's go ahead and take a break here real quick. And when we come back, you have some other things on your mind as far as this is concerned,
as well as taking care of glasses.
And yep, exactly. So stick around with us, guys. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Have you ever heard of Audible? Audible is a website with hundreds of thousands of audiobooks. They're all high quality, easy to listen to, and best of all, if you take advantage of a special deal that we've worked out for you, you can get one for free. That's right, a free audiobook of your choice in any genre simply by going to audibletrial.com/openeyes and signing up for the free trial. It's simple to do, and it would support the shows that we bring to you. And hey, you get a free book out of the whole thing. So why not take advantage of it today? Go to audibletrial.com/openeyes and sign up for the trial.
The L&M Radio Network and Late Night in the Midlands depends on you, the listener. Without you, there would be no us. So help us continue to bring you the best guests with the best information and subscribe today. Information on becoming an L&M subscriber can be found at the top of LateNightInTheMidlands.com. Just click the About Subscriptions tab and become part of the family while helping the truth stay alive. And while you're at it, maybe subscriptions aren't for you. A one-time donation helps as well. Click that donate button on the right side of LateNightInTheMidlands.com and help us help you.
Ben Franklin said, "If you do the same thing tomorrow as you did today, you're going to get the same tomorrow as you got today." Changing the world starts with you. And changing you starts with changing the way you think. Late Night in the Midlands can help. Listen to all of our shows at LateNightInTheMidlands.com because things really do need to change. Brothers at Arms is not about being militant, though there is a time and place where that is necessary. Brothers at Arms is not about arguing, though there are times where things may get heated. Brothers at Arms is not about who is right or wrong. There are many sides to each issue. Brothers at Arms is about exploring those sides, about dealing with the issues facing us today, about coming together and, through opposing views, understanding the deeper truths that are in the middle. Join Ira Robinson and Joe Long each Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on LateNightInTheMidlands.com. As these Brothers at Arms discuss what you need to know. Brothers at Arms, it's about time.
And we are young.
Hello there, and welcome back to Adventures in Autism. My name is Ira Robinson.
And this is Jolene Robinson. Excuse me, I'm hiccuping, so I hope I don't hiccup too much during the show.
Would not be good. Oh, there goes another one. So before we took the break there, we were talking some about the glasses situation and some of the things that we've learned over the years, advice wise, to do to help out the kiddos when they are having their glasses basically for the first time. And again, like we were saying there before the break, you know, establishing what tests are going to be coming up and making sure to explain like every detail possible is really kind of the best way to go so that there's no surprises at all. Now, you had some thoughts in regards to picking out frames and that kind of thing as well, correct?
Yeah, this thing, I'm not sure if every child's going to be this way, but this is a big issue with Seth. When it comes to picking out frames, be aware that your child may not be able to comprehend the fact that they're just picking out what their glasses are going to look like. The past few times we've gotten glasses, I've come to the realization that Seth picks the glasses out according to how well he sees out of them versus how they look on him. He has a hard time understanding, because they have the glass in them, he has the hard time understanding that he's just picking out how the frames are going to look, what style of glasses he's going to wear, as opposed to, oh, you're getting glasses that's going to, you know, these glasses
right.
are going to be your glasses.
So he
you know?
Sees all the frames sitting there. They all have the glass in them. And some of them you're going to see a little bit better out of and others you're not going to see out of. So he picks the frames based upon which ones he's seeing better out of at that moment in time.
Yes.
As opposed to how it looks.
I've noticed, like I said, I've noticed the past two times that that's how he does it by, which explains why it takes him forever to take frames, considering he, you know, like they sometimes have blue and blue's his favorite color, or they have black, which is his second favorite color. And it's like, why aren't you picking these? And I the last time he got glasses was what really opened my eyes to say, yep, for sure, this is what he's doing. Because the last time we went to get glasses, which was the same day of the significant horror of the glaucoma test.
Yeah.
Thankfully, this part has not happened yet. We got to pick out the frames before they had any of the testing done. So he was still happy and whatnot. So we go over to pick out frames, and Crystal found frames like almost immediately. I mean, she understands that it's just how they look. So she found frames that she liked, and bam, there she was. Seth, he was hemming and hawing between like three different pairs, but he was starting to get kind of upset. And I'm like, well, what's wrong, Seth? Do you know which ones you like? And he's like, well, he says, I can't tell which ones I see better out of. I was like, well, don't go by that, because that's what you're here for, is to, you know, to get your, you know, the glasses you're picking out is not going to be the glasses you take home with you. You're here to get the test. You're just to pick out the frames, which glasses you like that looks the best on you. But he still could not comprehend that he was just picking out just how the frames looked on him.
Right.
So he was hemming and hawing, and he finally went ahead and picked with one. He's like, I guess I see better out of these. I mean, that's what he kind of kept mumbling. I guess I see better out of these. I guess I see. So he doesn't, even after all this time, you know, even at the age of 14, he still does not comprehend the fact that when he's picking out glasses, he's picking out just how they look on him.
Just the frames, not the lenses. Yeah.
Exactly. Now, if they were the frames and literally just frames, you know, no glasses, I'm sure he'd have an easier time comprehending that that's what it is. But since they do have some sort of lens in them, that's what confuses him.
And that's sad, because we just can't get him to grasp the concept of the lenses are not the frames, and the frames is the only thing that we're there for.
Yeah, that he's just to pick out which color and style he likes the best, and he picks them out based on which he can see the best. So...
And so now you've gotten over the hiccups, and now the cat is in your face.
I know, yeah. I got over hiccups, and then Elliot came over and was like, oh, look, I'm going to play with your headphones.
Now, this is something that we definitely have gotten in the habit of. We had one optometrist for a really long time. This is the one that we went to for quite a few years. And so... they got to know the kids really well. They got to know and understand that Seth had, you know, autism, that he had a lot of his own little foibles that they had to deal with, basically. But, you know, make sure that the optometrist that you go to, and that the place that you go to, know and understand that your kiddo has autism, because it definitely can make a big difference in how they do things and how they do the testing and how they present everything all around, as opposed to when they're dealing with a child who is relatively normal. So that's very important. Like I said, we were lucky that we went to one for a number of years, and they basically had dealt with Seth since he was about five or six. And so they got to know him really well, you know?
Yeah, and going to that one, the only time Seth and Crystal as well, would ever get finicky was when they had to do the dilating of the eyes. That would be the only time that they would kind of get weepy. And
which is really frustrating for kids to begin with anyways. And then you toss that in with a kid that has autism, and it's just that much worse.
Yeah.
They don't understand very well about what's going on. And
yeah, that's why
it's hard to get the drops in there on him. I'll say that.
that's why I have to be the one to take him, or at least be present when they go get the eyeglasses. Cause the last time they had gone to the eyeglasses, and it was just your mom taking them so that I could, you know, still be at work, I had to get it off work early and rush over there, because they just would not take them, and your mom could not get them to calm down enough to take them. They were just crying their little eyes out, and they hadn't even gotten the drops in their eyes yet. So after that point, your mom and I were like, okay, that's it. That's the last time I'm going to do it without me being present. So.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing is, as far as Jolene is concerned, you know, she's very much the calming presence in regards to the kiddos, especially with Seth. He's always very much calmer around her for Grandma one reason or the other.
Grandma just frustrates Seth for whatever reason.
I think one of the reasons is because, you know, she gets real nervous. She gets real, you know, she doesn't understand everything completely. So, that causes her a level of frustration and a level of concern and worry. She worries about everything.
Oh, gosh.
And so the Seth definitely picks up on that. And, you know, that's maybe another topic for another day. But either way, that definitely translates into the visit to the eye doctor.
That and so. Grandma likes to rush things. Come on, Seth, pick out a pair of glasses. Yeah. No, you got to give him patience. You got to.
If the boy's going to take an hour, he's going to take an hour. So.
Okay. The next thing I had down was explain to them ahead of time they will not be bringing their glasses home the same day that they have the exam. Now, the kids, by this point in time, understand that, but if it's your child's first time getting glasses, let them know they won't be taking their glasses home that same day, since obviously they have to order the lenses and the frames and all that jazz, you know.
You can go to like one of the little 1 hour places, but, the same day places kind of thing, but
you're better off going to an actual.
Yeah. When it comes to especially dealing with an autistic kiddo, the one hour or the 1 day kind of places, I don't recommend going to, I don't recommend going to them either way. Anyways, for those of you who listen to any of our other shows, we have Brothers at Arms and Open Eyes, and sometimes Joe will appear, Joe Long, my brother, he will appear on Open Eyes, and we're co-hosts together on Brothers at Arms every Thursday. And he used to work at, as an optometrist. And, he's very finicky and very adamant about don't ever go to one of those 1 day places, 'cause they're just horrible, horrible places to go to. And, especially when it comes to kids, they do not work very well at all. So, you know, take the time, spend a little bit of extra, you know, to go to one that's, you know, really good. I think you're going to be a lot better off in the end, you know, and you're going to deal with somebody that, you can deal with like on a constant basis. Again, the getting to know the child and their quirks is really important to making sure that they can see okay, even again for a normal kiddo. But it's especially so with an autistic kid, because they are not very expressive when it comes to, okay, I'm not seeing very well, or I'm not seeing this, or I'm not seeing that, or that's really blurry, or whatever. You know, the doctor, they have to really know what they're doing to be able to catch the cues that they're giving, you know?
Exactly.
So I guess that's my salient thoughts with
it. And then as a safety thing, I would recommend the plastic frames over wire frames for your child. The plastic frames that have the wire on the inside, those would be the sturdiest and safest, mainly because of the, it doesn't have the nose pads. If your child gets into a tantrum or just kind of, RK, Seth's a boy, you know, I mean, then you're going to want frames that are sturdy. And if they accidentally get pushed in their face, it's not going to give them much pain or anything.
I can give a little bit of a personal story with that.
Yeah,
I have a very large scar on right above where my eye on my right side is from when I was younger. I was about 8 years old, and it was very nasty weather outside, and I decided to take it upon myself to go chase a girl around. And so I went to chase this girl around, and I slid. And I fell, and I landed on my face, basically. My glasses broke, and at the time I had metal frames. And the metal frames, they broke, and one of the, like, where the earpiece connects up to the glasses themselves, that part of it snapped off, and started sticking out. And I have this huge scar from where that metal basically dug from my eyebrow level all the way up my forehead and dug so deep it actually got down to my skull level in a couple of places with it. Had to go rush to the emergency room and get stitches and all that kind of stuff. And it was a very, very horrible experience for me. I had blood everywhere. I mean, you know, head wounds are always bloody anyways, but it was bad to say the least. And, so, you know, you don't want that kind of thing occurring to your kiddo. Trust me, it's not a pleasant situation. So plastic frames are probably going to be the best, just because they tend to not do that kind of thing as easily. If they do break, they tend to break like into pieces more than anything. And you're not likely to have that kind of stuff happening, you know.
Yeah,
overall.
If they break, they tend to like snap in half kind of
right.
thing.
Right. It's not as likely that you're going to experience something where a jagged piece is going to be sticking out and landing in your face or your eyeball or something like that. So
yeah, of all the glasses Seth's had, his glasses either broke at the nose or just plain the eyepiece falls out. And
yeah, the lens just keeps not staying in.
Or
yeah.
It snaps like somewhere where the eyepiece goes in, you know, the frame around the eyepiece. It'll snap somewhere around there, so it just keeps falling out and we have to use glue or something to keep it together.
and hope it stays together until we can get to the doctor again.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, and in relation to that as well, when it comes to the lenses themselves, do what you can. You know, if you have to spend a couple of extra bucks to get the like lighter versions of the glasses, you know, of the lenses, then you should probably do so. It's going to be a lot easier on the kids. I know with Seth, his eyesight is bad enough that he's got like almost Coke bottle glasses. If he was to have like the non light versions of them. So we make sure, I mean, even though the glasses are covered by our insurance, we pay the extra in order to get the super lights basically. So just kind of my recommendation there as well. Take the extra little bit to make it easier on the kids overall. So
mm-hmm.
Now, in relation to that as well, you want to make sure that the glasses are comfortable for the kids. They may not be very expressive or, you know, especially if you have one of the nonverbal kiddos, they may not be able to tell you that they're not very comfortable. So, when you first get the glasses, what I would say to do is, if you, like every night, basically when they take the glasses off and they're getting ready for bed and that sort of thing, you might want to like take a few minutes to look behind their ears, look in the creases of the ears and so on to make sure that there's no sore spots that are appearing. And would be a cue, you know, to go get the glasses adjusted. They may not, again, be able to express very well that, hey, this is not feeling very good here, or this is, you know, kind of cutting into the skin here or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, be kind of proactive with it and make sure that that's not occurring, before there's like an infection or something that decides to start there.
And also watch too, to see if they continuously push the glasses up, because then that might mean they're just not tight enough on their face.
Yeah, exactly. And one thing I would recommend too is if you do decide to get the metal frames and they have like the nose pads sticking out, most glasses places, they don't do this as a general rule, like when they sell the glasses, but there are other places out there where you can get the like really soft pads to replace the nose pads that are there. Cause a lot of times when you get the glasses from the optometrists and that kind of thing, they have, like kind of almost like this hardened rubber kind of thing on the nose pads. And there's others that are out there that are like this really soft, comfortable rubber piece that goes there. It's kind of like a resiny kind of thing. And I would say, you know, maybe take the glasses to one of these places and have them replace those other pads, those other nose pads, with that softer pad. It's going to be a lot more comfortable on them overall.
Yes, definitely.
We take them to a place here in town that does it for like $10 for a pair of glasses, and it's well worth doing. It's a lot more comfortable than those harder plastic pieces. So, yep. So you had a couple of other things that you wanted to discuss in relation to all this too, right?
Yeah, it's just general taking care of the glasses kind of thing.
Okay, so we've got about 5 minutes left.
Oh, well, that'll be plenty of time. So the first one is be prepared to wash the glasses often. And I mean often. In Seth's case, we wash them like probably 3 times a day. And I'm not even exaggerating that.
Seth is all boy. He gets his glasses dirty like crazy, and he gets the fingerprints on them and everything. And he comes out. We've got him basically trained. He comes out. He will hand us his glasses and say, "Look at my glasses. Aren't they dirty? Aren't they so dirty? Oh, my gosh, they're a mess."
They are so dirty, aren't they? Yeah, they're dirty. Yep, we definitely gotta.
Yeah, we make a big joke out of it just to help, you know, keep him in a good mood. So,
and it helps to keep him wanting to get them clean as well. So, that's like the first thing. Just be prepared to the idea that you're gonna have to clean their glasses more often than a quote unquote regular child's glasses. Like Crystal, she doesn't really wash her glasses very often. Her glasses stay pretty clean. She's pretty good about that.
Yeah.
And then Seth's just
he's just a mess just on gets a constant so dirty. Basis.
The next thing I have, Seth had these on his glasses for a while. Crystal did too, but not as long. But if your child has trouble not shaking around and having their glasses come flying off, you can buy pretty much anywhere those glasses straps. You just put them on the ends of the glasses, and that way if they come off, they're still around their neck kind of thing. And you can tie it tighter. You know, some of them, they have like a drawstring. You can make it tighter so that it kind of stays on their head no matter what. We had that for Seth for quite a while, and it helped. And it helped him to keep the glasses on when he was going through a time period of just kind of...
Yeah, he kept constantly... They just fell off of his face constantly. He could not keep them on, so...
And it wasn't a fact of they were too loose on his face. No. It was the fact of he just was hyper and running and jumping.
During his meltdowns and that kind of thing, they just would go right off his face, land on the floor, most of the times break, so...
Yeah, they were just like, poof, they're done. So he wore that on his glasses for quite a long while. Crystal did for a short period of time too, but not very long.
It was only until she got used to wearing glasses and how to act while the glasses were on. She got hers a lot later than what Seth got his, so.
Yeah, she was a lot older. And then get in the habit of having them take their glasses have them take their glasses off when they have a tantrum, or if they wrap up in blankets or are roughhousing, if they go into a bounce house, you know, just anything that would probably have them bump their glasses. If you have a trampoline, have them take it off then too. Just that sort of thing. Seth and Crystal are both used to the idea of if they're going to have a tickle fight or if they're just going to roughhouse or whatnot, they both take their glasses off just to be on the safe side.
And we've gotten Seth used to the idea too that when he's starting to have an upset mode, he will take his glasses off. So like he's one that likes to wrap up in a blanket when he's having a meltdown. And so he's gotten used now to when he feels one of those coming on and he starts to do that kind of thing, he'll take his glasses off and put them on the table, and then he'll start doing the wrapping process and go from there.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm grateful for, because we had actually had him, you know, he had broken his glasses a couple of times when he was going through meltdown issues and got wrapped up in them, and the glasses would, you know, fall off his face while in the blanket. And so, yeah, it made a mess.
Yeah. And then the last thing I have is have an eyeglass repair kit. and kind of get an idea of how to use it.
Have it and know how to use it. Indeed.
Yeah.
And they're cheap to get. You can get them at Walmart or Amazon, or, I mean, you know, they're literally only a couple of bucks and they're well worth having around.
And then another thing kind of with the whole repair kit idea is if your kid's glasses breaks and it's about time for them to get a new pair of glasses, so it's kind of useless to have them go and be like, can you fix this? You may as well just wait for the eyeglass appointment. If their glasses break, having either super glue or a hot glue gun to fix whatever broke would be very beneficial. It's not going to look pretty, but it'll help hold it together longer as opposed to just putting tape on it.
It'll do in a pinch. And be careful with the hot glue stuff as well.
It will melt the plastic.
Yeah, it will melt the plastic.
It just depends on what type of glasses you're having. If it's the metal frames, it should be fine.
Yeah.
But if it's the plastic frames, then get just the crazy super glue.
Yep. Indeed. So we are out of time, unfortunately, and this episode definitely went really quickly. Hopefully you guys got a lot of information out of it. And if you'd like any more advice or any kind of things like our thoughts in regards to this stuff, definitely let us know. You can send us an email, send it to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com. If you want to go to the show notes for this show, you can go to openeyesnetwork.com/AA012. We'll have everything there at the at that site, and you guys can listen to the archive over and over and over, as well as the archive of all of our other shows as well. We have quite a few episodes that you guys can take a listen to, and hopefully you guys are getting a lot out of them. We're definitely having a lot of fun doing them, even though we don't get a chance to do them every single week lately. We're going to get back on track though, darn it. I'm determined. So, yeah, if you guys want to send us any kind of, like things over Facebook or Twitter, you can go to Open Eyes Network on both of those platforms. And you can also get us on our contact us page there at openeyesnetwork.com as well. So until next time, thank you for listening. Keep safe out there and have fun.
Thank you for listening.